Tonight we're going to be talking about the origin of man. You need to understand something, that my programs are mostly for younger people, for youth and kids. So what my whole thing, most of my ministry, what I've tried to do is take the complicated science we have out there, dealing with the age of the earth, dealing with the origin of man, and simplify it so most people can understand it. And my main target area is usually I aim towards the fifth and sixth, because I figure if I can get the fifth and sixth to understand it, the younger ones, I've actually third and fourth grade, we usually pick it up, and then the older ones. Sometimes it's not enough for the older ones, all right, but we're given the basis. So you're going to see just the way I do it normally, you know. And it's not embarrassing, but because this church is so creation-oriented, I mean, this is where you have your science fellowship meetings all the time, just to understand where I'm coming at right in here. But we are going to talk about the origin of man tonight. You need to understand something. If I'm wearing a pair of glasses red in color, when I look out in the world, what color am I going to see? I'm going to see red, that's right. Well, if those glasses are blue in color, when I look out in the world, what color am I going to see? Blue. If I'm wearing a pair of glasses that are green in color, when I look out in the world, what color am I going to see? Green, that's right. And that's what it's really like in the world, all right? We all look at the world through different colored glasses. No, we don't all wear glasses. But it's really not the glasses itself we see, but it's what we think we see when we're looking at the world, how it's what we would actually call a bias. We all look at it a little bit different way. Here I have a lady up here. Do y'all see my lady? This is, I call her my princess. She has her hair up here, her eyes, her nose, her mouth, her chin, her neck, and she has a collar around her neck. But it depends on how you look at things. Sometimes you look at it a different way and you'll see something completely. Same evidence, but look at something different, right? Because I can take my princess and flip her upside down. Now what do you see? Same picture, but what do you see now? I call it my king, okay? He's got a crown on his head, lost a little of hair on the front of his head, still got some at the back, his eyes, his nose, his mouth, his chin. Same picture, just depends on how you look at it. Look up in here. Here's a man that's got a problem. He's in a big body of water in a canoe with a big sun hat. Here's an island with some trees on it. And here's this problem, which I believe is a good problem because I'm a fisherman. I would love to catch a fish this big. But you notice this fish is way too big to actually fit into the canoe. So that's a problem. But again, it depends on how you look at it. Because if you look at it a different way, it's an even bigger problem than that. It's actually a big bird that's got a hold of him. So it depends on how you look at things. When you look up here, what do you see? You see a horse. Are you sure? Well, yeah, you can see a horse, but also the same information. Look at it a different way. Now what do you see? You see a dog at the head of a horse. Same picture, just depends on how you look at it. And that's what it's really like in the world. We all wear different pair of colored glasses. It depends most of the time on what we believe before we even look at the same, how we actually base what we actually believe. If I'm wearing a pair of glasses that say evolution written across it, when I look out in the world, what am I going to see? Evolution. Again, you don't have no choice. If you believe in evolution, then you'll actually have to interpret everything you're looking at through what evolution teaches. And this is where I was for many, many years. What if you wearing a pair of glasses that have creation on it? When you look out in the world, what are you going to see? You're going to see creation. Again, I believe you really don't have any choice. If you believe that God did it, you'll see creation everywhere you look. So it all depends on how you look at things, what we call our bias. And here we have an example. That here we have two scientists and they find a skull, the head of some bones of a head and everything, a skull. Now this scientist, he'll look at it, he says, I think what we have found is the skull of man. So he goes to the artist, tells the artist what he thinks he found. The artist will draw a picture, and what do we end up with? Something that looks very much like a man, right? Well, a version of man anyway. But the other scientist looks at it different. He says, no, I think what we found is half man, half ape. So he goes to the artist, tells the artist what he thinks he found. What do we end up with? Something that looks like half man, half ape. See, it wasn't the evidence. It was what the scientists that looked at it, their worldview or their bias, what they thought they were looking at based on what they believed. Unfortunately, this is what we're seeing. In the museums and everything, what we're always looking at is somebody else's idea of the evidence. Very seldom do we get to see the actual evidence for ourselves, so we can determine, based on what we believe, what was actually found. And understand, sometimes we don't have the knowledge, enough knowledge to try to make good guesses, all right? But we hardly ever get to see the actual evidence herself. We're always looking at somebody else's idea and somebody else's artwork. That's what we're actually observing all the time. This is mix and match time up in here. Do you see any of these individuals that look like any of the other ones? No, they're all different. Here's why they are different. What we had was nine different scientists. They went to nine different artists, and they came up with nine different ideas or nine different interpretations of what they thought Neanderthal looked like. But here was the problem. They were all looking at the very same evidence. They were all looking at the very same bones or same fossils. So, which one is right? Do we actually know which one is right based on bones? No. No. Can we tell just by looking at bones? Well, can you talk to bones, by the way? Can you talk to fossils? Huh? Sure you can. You can talk to fossils all you want, but can fossils talk to you? No, that's a little bit different question, isn't it? All right? Can fossils, how much can they actually tell you? Can a fossil tell you if you have smooth skin or hairy skin? Can a fossil tell you that? Can a fossil tell you if you have short hair, long stringy hair, no hair at all? Can a fossil tell you that? Can a fossil tell you skin color? No. We need to understand something. When we start adding flesh to these bones and everything, we have to understand we don't really know that that's what they look like. Right? Now, we might be close, regardless, by the way, of some of those television shows like CSI, some of those. We can't really know what they look like. Now, we might be close, but the only way we would know if we was close is if we'd actually seen them and had a good enough memory we could remember what they look like. Or if we had a well-written document that gave it such detail that we could get a pretty good idea what they look like. Or if we had a picture to look at. But, oh, you have to be careful today, because I can take a picture of you with a digital camera, load it into my computer here, and I have a program that I can take your picture, and I can change it so much that by when I'm done, you wouldn't even recognize your own self from your own picture. So you also have to be able to trust your source of information, where you're getting your information from. Today, that's why I always go to the Word of God. Well, there's a lot of things in the world I don't understand out there. And so what I've done now is I'll just go and say, well, first of all, what does God have to say about this? And does it fit with what God said? And I had known that I can trust the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, it was inspired by God. It is His Word. So if what I'm looking at in the world does not fit with the Word of God, you know what I do? I just reject it. It's that easy for me today. I don't have to argue anymore. If it doesn't fit with God, it's just not true. And that's what I do. Now, everybody has to make up their own mind, but I found that is one of the best ways. Because we were just talking today, there are lots and lots and lots of different ideas running around out there. Right? Some on the guise of Christian ideas, but they don't actually fit with what the Word of God says. So you have to be careful where you're getting your source of information. Right? Now, this is we're going to go a little bit different direction here. Anybody recognize what this might be? Any ideas? Any ideas? Now, here's what happens when I have a bunch of kids. I ask and hands will go up, and they'll start saying, one kid will say a chipmunk, another kid will say a squirrel, another say a rat. But very quickly, what I find out is all of a sudden, it's half chipmunk, half squirrel, or half rat, half mouse, or half this and half that. I mean, and this many times is in Christian settings and everything. And you know what I realize right away? That evolution has crept into these kids' life, and they don't even realize it. Because the only way we would think this is a half animal of any kind is why? Because that's what evolution teaches. All animals change from one kind of an animal into another. But this is a whole animal. This is actually a shrew. Y'all know about shrews? But this is a tree shrew. This one lives down in South America. And the reason I'm showing you his picture is because today, according to one of the ideas that are out there, this is our great, 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 granddaddy. You say, huh? I thought evolution teaches we come from a monkey or an ape-type creature. Actually, that's what I was taught when I went to school. But now they're changing the idea a little bit. Now they're saying, no, we didn't come directly from the monkeys or directly from the ape. But the monkeys, the apes, and us all had a common ancestor. And this is it today. But he better hang on tight to the bush, because every once in a while they come up with a new creature to try and knock him off and make a new ancestor appear out there. But according to evolution, that is really one of our ancestors. How many of you ever seen this chart here? Everybody's seen it, right? This is the evolutionary chart that teaches where we came from. Monkey critters to ape critters to finally us right in here, caveman, things like that. But actually what we're already starting to see and changes in some of the school books is a picture more like this, where here's where we have that tree shrew. But now according to the newer idea, Millions of years ago, some of the tree shrews evolved or changed into these guys right down here on the bottom. These are called lemurs. And then they said the lemurs then evolved along that line. Lemurs. Lemurs are not really monkeys. Some of them look like monkeys, but they're very. But most of them are nocturnal. Come out at night. And then they say someplace along the line, the monkeys dropped out and evolved along this line. Then the apes dropped out and evolved along in here. And then we came along up in here. Now, I want to talk about this line of apes right in here, because even today in the literature, they still keep popping up quite a bit, especially in the museum. So I want to talk about this guy over here on the left. I just forgot. I knew what it was. That's a gibbon. There we go. I knew it would come back if I could give it enough time. A gibbon. That's one of those long-armed apes that swings to the tree. The one right in the middle, that's an orangutan, and the one over the far right, that's a chimpanzee. But then, according to evolution, this is where we came from, along up in here. Well, that's what I want to look in this session. What have they found out there? Why do some believe that we did come from an ape-type creature? In other words, was your great-great-great-great-grandmother monkey? Well, was she? Well, we're going to look into that. Why do some believe that, and why did I believe it at one time? So we're going to look at this one right in here. This is Neanderthal, sometimes called caveman. We're going to go to Homo erectus, or called Java man, a gal named Lucy, the Australopithecines, and then we're going to actually start with this one right here called Ramapithecus. And I'm going to begin with Ramapithecus. This was actually found in a third grade book in Grand Junction where we live. And in the book, they showed a picture of Ramapithecus. And the book stated that Ramapithecus was a man ape. Not a real man, but a man ape. Well, I agree with that last statement. That's not a real man, is it? But is it a man ape? I have to tell you the truth, when I looked at that picture, I saw ape-type creature sitting on a rock. That's all I saw. But I think here you have to ask yourself a very important question, though. Is this what they actually found? Did they actually go out into the jungle someplace and see this guy sitting on a rock, take his picture, and then bring it back and have an artist draw this picture? No. So what do we call pictures like that? We call that artwork. Can y'all say that? Artwork. And by the way, this is one of the things I teach kids. I pound it into their head. Artwork, 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 artwork. Because artwork is everywhere out there. It's in the museums, it's in the books, it's in the magazines, it's on TV, movie. It's everywhere out there. So first of all, we have to start understanding what we're looking at. We're looking at artwork. You turn the page, by the way, and you see two teenage Ramapithecus and a couple more sticking their head out of a cave. The same question, though, is this what they actually found? No? So what do we call a picture like that? Artwork, that's right. Now, we need to understand something. Whenever we find artwork, we need to ask ourselves a question. It's a very simple question, but it's one we always need to ask. We need to train our children, our grandchildren, nephews, and nieces to ask this question. Whenever they finally realize what they're looking at, artwork, then they need to ask this question here. What's the evidence? Can you all help me out here? What's the evidence? And all you're asking is, show me what you found to get that pretty little picture. So, what was the evidence of Ramapithecus when these pictures came out? Well, here's what it was right in here. It was this skull right in here. But I want to share a secret with you. Whenever you're looking at bones or fossils of any kind, you need to always, 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 always start looking for two different colors. You see the two different colors? And not the color in the background. I'm talking about the ones in the skull itself. You see a part that's light in color, and you see a part that's dark in color. All they found at the time that those pictures came out was the part that is dark in color. All they found was a little bit of jawbone and a few teeth. They did not find any of this here or any of this back here. Any of this go back in here. All they found was the part that is dark in color. Just a few teeth and a little bit of jawbone. So let's go back and look at Ramapithecus. And I have a question for you. How on earth did they draw that based on what they found? Is that science, my friends? No. Well, there's a lot of scientists in here. And to me, that's an insult to scientists, to try to take that small of information and stretch it out that far. That is not science. That's artist imagination. Not only did they get Ramapithecus, but they got the teenagers, too, from the same scrap of information. Now, since that time, they actually found more evidence of what they call Ramapithecus. And what they actually found was a little bit better complete jaw with teeth and everything. What they realized, though, it looked just like that of a modern-day orangutan. Even most evolutionary scientists today will agree that Ramapithecus was probably nothing but a great ape, probably was an orangutan. But yet in the books, in the museums and everything, they're still saying this is our great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy. And even most of the evolutionary scientists no longer agree with that, but it's still being taught. And that's why I have to keep showing it up there, because it's still out there in the world. Here's Lucy. How many of you heard of Lucy? Oh, most of us heard of Lucy. This was Lucy was found by Dr. Johansson over in East Africa. He found Lucy, and he said that Lucy looked very much like a chimpanzee, but he said, but Lucy was not a chimpanzee because she was beginning to walk upright like we were. Now, this exhibit was actually traveling around. This one actually came to Grand Junction, actually flew to right outside of Grand Junction, so we took this picture here. And in it, he said one of the reasons that that she was not a true chimpanzee because Lucy was walking upright like man. At first, he said it was this hip right in here. Now, we took a picture. I looked at a hip. I know a little bit about anatomy, and it looks very much like a human hip. So it's pretty good-looking evidence, isn't it? But I found out something. After this, I got curious, and I went to the library, and I checked out a movie made by Nova, and it was a documentary all about Dr. Johansson and his discovery of Lucy. And in there, I found out something very interesting about that hip. Understand what you're looking at is not the actual fossils right there. Thus, every bit of that is a replica. But what I found out about that hip, they did not find a complete hip like that. In fact, what they found was a bunch of little crushed, little bitty bones of the hip. And Dr. Johansson said he got together with another scientist friend of his, and they went and put those bones back together. And when they were done, in the documentary, in his word, he said, when we got done, it looked just like the hip of a chimpanzee. So did he change his mind because of the evidence? No, he'd already made up his mind. So you know what they did? They changed the evidence. He decided that because they were crushed, that was not what they really looked like. So in the documentary, he said, we took artistic license and we changed it to fit what it should have looked like. So they took every one of those, made an exact duplicate of every one of the crushed bones they had, and then altered or changed them, grind them and everything until they made them fit together to look like that of a human hip. And then they said, see, this proves he probably could, or she could, walk upright like man. Now, he didn't let other scientists look at the actual fossils. I think it was for 7 years. But his peer group, really, they want to look at the actual fossils for themselves. So finally, he allowed them. They got together, put the hip back together, and said, no way, Dr. Johansson. As far as we can tell, that does look like the hip of a chimpanzee. But he says, yes, this. Then he started showing this. He started showing this picture here. This is in the National Geographic. They actually call it the Haydar knee. He started going around the seminars bringing in the Haydar knee. And he contended that this was a human knee right in here. And it probably is. It has the same angle. If you put it together right, our knee has about a 6-degree angle where chimpanzees straight up and down. It does look like it is probably a human knee. So he never came right out and said that it belonged to Lucy, but he always brought this up while he was talking about Lucy. One day in Kansas City, Missouri, an associate of Tom Willis, they have a creation ministry there out in Kansas, actually in Missouri. He's over the border right from Kansas City. Dr. Johansson was actually, he'd been going around about 2 years, and he was there giving a lecture about Lucy and how she walked upright and everything. And, of course, the knee came up. Well, after it was all over, this individual went up and he asked Dr. Johansson, what's the evidence? The way he asked it was this. He said, Dr. Johansson, I have read everything that you have written about Lucy. And in those books, you show every bone you found. You have a map. You show where you found them in relationship to each other. But Dr. Johansson, I'm looking everywhere and I cannot find it. I cannot find that knee that you keep bringing up and said it's so important to proving that Lucy walked upright like man. Dr. Johansson, where did you find the knee? Dr. Johansson said, well, I didn't actually find the knee with Lucy. You didn't, sir? Well, where did you find it then? He says, oh, about 2 miles away. How far? 2 miles. Now, wait a second. Can you do that? Let's pretend while we're in here. It's going to be a tough dog because it's asphalt out there, all right? But let's pretend while we're in here, some big old tough dog went out and dug a hole through the asphalt, and we find a bunch of bones that were buried underneath. And being curious, we grab them, bring them back in here, and we start trying to put them together, try to figure out what it is we had found out there, that dog had found for us. But after a while, bending over the table, our back starts to ache, so we decide to take a little stroll. So we're going to go out here on Central, and we're going to be very careful because of the traffic, but we're going to take off. We're going to walk and walk and walk and walk. And finally, about 10 miles down Central, we're going to look. Wow, look at this. Another fossil. Wow, we get excited. All right, we reach down, grab that fossil, pick it up, we come trotting back here. Now, can we take that fossil we found 2 miles down the road, come put it with the rest of these fossils or bones to say it belonged to the same creature? Can you do that? Huh? Well, yeah. But he did, didn't he? And they asked him, they said, well, Dr. Johansson, why did you do that? He said, well, I realized that the knee did not actually belong to Lucy herself, but it belonged to the same kind of an animal. And he asked him, well, why do you believe that? He says, because it was in the same age of Ra. You know what we found out later? By his own writings, we found out that wasn't even true. Not only was that knee over 2 miles away from where he found the rest of the fossils of Lucy, but it was also 300 foot deeper in the strata, 300 foot deeper in the rock than where he found it. Right. Now, other scientists today, they actually look at Lucy and they say it's nothing but a chimpanzee. It wasn't even female, it was a male. Even Dr. Johansson, I actually heard reports just a couple years ago, he's kind of backed off on Lucy being that missing link they've been looking at. But this is still going around. This is still in the museums. What was it? 2 years ago, help me out, they actually brought the actual fossils of Lucy. I think it was like two, could have been maybe 3 years ago. Time kind of starts fluttering by, but they actually brought the actual fossils of Lucy back here. But this is ones that are still in museums right in here. But I want you to look up in here. You see the head of Lucy? Those fossils in her head right in here? Only a few of those were actually found with Lucy herself. Most of those were found a mile in a different direction. They weren't found with Lucy either. And take a good look at Lucy's feet and hands. Do you see any feet and hands for Lucy? No, because they didn't find any feet and hands for Lucy. But look what came out. St. Louis Zoo, as soon as Lucy became so popular, that missing link they continued to search for, there's a picture of Lucy. And she's a beautiful gal. A pretty little head, nice little hands. Down here, they said that she had auburn hair. Now understand, when this thing came out, boy, you guys caught that right away. All right. When this thing came out, they did not have all those head bones that they'd found. They never had the hand bones. But even if they did have the hand bones, can they tell you what color hair she had? Especially based on fossils they never had? No. And then you go to the Denver Museum of Natural History. Now, they had a display of Lucy there. But first of all, they had Denver Museum has two different sections. You go into some of the historical stuff, then you go into the evolutionary part, I call it. And you pay extra to go through the evolutionary part. You have to buy an extra ticket. And you buy a ticket, and they take you through a door. And before you can go in to see the dinosaurs and the rest of it, and then get into your ancestors at the end, they set you down on some stairs like this. And I actually call it their altar. They have some steps, some carpeted steps, about 3 or 4 tiers high. And on the opposite wall, they're actually showing a movie. And this movie is a short, about a 5-minute movie, but it convinces that you come from slime. That goo we talked about yesterday, that you're nothing but a chance and accident. So they teach you evolution right from the beginning. Then you go up and go through the dinosaurs. Every bit of the way through the dinosaurs, they're always teaching evolution. And then you get to your ancestors. And before you leave that section to get ready to go exit back in the rest of the museum, there's your great-great-grandmother there at the door to say goodbye to you. There's Lucy right in there. Now, first of all, take a good look at Lucy. Do you guys notice something there? You notice the two different colors? Always look for the two different colors. All they found was a part that's dark in color. Understand something, though. You're also looking at replica here, so you don't know if they're little bitty pieces or one piece. You cannot tell by looking at this. Then you look at Lucy in all her glory. Now, when Dr. Johansson first came out, he said that they had actually found 40% of Lucy. It turned out the actual bone count, they'd actually, when they put all the rest of it, actually they'd only found 20%. So what are you looking at? 80% of what you're looking at, what is it actually? It's artwork. Now we know through symmetry, you know, I'm not going to get too far out here, because through symmetry, if you find it on one side, you know what it looks like on the other. But in reality, all they found was 20%. All right, now, something that you will not see today, though, you notice the different colors. We all already looked at. But do you notice something else about Lucy up here? Huh? Exactly, hands and feet. Notice they put hands and feet on her, and they made them look like human hands and human feet. Hands and feet they never found with Lucy. Today, you won't even see this. I have a friend that went in there a couple years ago. It's been a while since I've been back there, but they said they've actually clothed her with skin now. So all she does is looks like an ape. So the evidence is even covered up today. You won't even get a chance to look at it. And that's what we're dealing with in the museum. Back in 1978, an amateur anthropologist called Mary Leakey found what they called the Laetoli Ashfields over in East Africa, Tanzania. I actually got a chance to go to Tanzania and teach pastors. For 3 weeks, we were teaching pastors and everything about creation. Most of these pastors didn't even have a Bible. So we'd first of all start with Genesis, teach them about creation, and then try to get Bibles in their hand. But what she found was what they call the Laetoli ash field. What we believe happened was this. A volcano blew up, a whole bunch of ash came out, fell down to the ground, got wet, and then animals ran across it and made tracks. And Mary Leakey actually had this stuff tested right in here using radiometric dating methods. And she came up that this stuff was 3.75 million years old using the radiometric dating method. Now, many of you already know I don't believe in these dates. In fact, the second half I'm going to talk about the age of the Earth. But understand that Mary Leakey did believe it was 3.75 million years old based on the radiometric dating method. Now, she sat down with an artist friend of hers, and they drew this picture right in here. They actually found some tracks of a bird that looks just like a bird that is living today. And so the tracks look the same, so they drew the bird exactly the same we see today. It is called a guinea fowl. They also found elephant tracks and giraffe tracks that look just like the animals are making today, so they drew the animals just like we see them today. They found rabbit tracks and ostrich tracks. Again, the tracks were the same, so they drew the animals the same. Down here, they found the tracks of man. So they drew man exactly like we see him. Whoa. Is that what we look like today? So what happened? Actually, what happened is very easy to answer. Mary Leakey had on a pair of colored glasses that said evolution. See, according to one of the ideas of evolution, man was not around 3.75 million years ago. The thing today they're still using is 200,000 to maybe 3 million, but certainly not almost 4 million, not 3.75. So that could not be man. That could not be human. So who did they draw? Australopithecines. They draw Lucy's cousins right in here. Now notice these footprints. I should blow them up a little bit. You can probably see it. Those don't quite look like true human footprints, do they? They actually have some pictures, photographs of the footprint, and it's big toe and four little toes. They are human footprints. But they altered them here in the picture. They made it one big toe and all the rest of them kind of all lumped together. They were actually questioned. She was actually questioned on that, why they did that. And she says, well, we didn't want to fool anybody into thinking that those were really truly human footprints, because they can't be, because humans weren't around yet. So we took artistic license. Notice that word coming up again? Artistic license, and we changed them, altered them, so we wouldn't fool anybody. Really? I would love to be an interviewer today. She's gone, so I can't do that. Right? Say, okay, you want to change footprints because you didn't want to fool anybody. Then why on earth did you give Australopithecines human hands and human feet if you didn't want to fool anybody to thinking they were human? And I understand. Because I was there for so many years. I understand because of the glasses she was wearing. That's all she could see. She was locked into that worldview, to thinking in that way. I was there for many years, so I understand why she did it. Here's another one. This was found by Dr. Eugene Dubois. He was actually a medical doctor from Holland. He believed in evolution, and he believed in the missing link, and he believed he knew where to find that missing link, where we came from. And he told the world, I'm going to go find it. So he went down to a country called Indonesia, looked around a while, didn't have much luck, so he popped over to an island called Java, and he says, I have found it. I have found the missing link. And this was actually a photograph we took in the Denver Museum of Natural History, and this is Java Man. That was his missing link that he found, all right? He found Java Man right here. Now, first of all, let's take a good look at that. Is that what they actually found? So what do we call that bust? What do you call that statue? Artwork, good, all right? So what's the next question? Should be rolling off our tongue now we know it's artwork. What's the evidence? Well, there it is. It was very nice of them, kind, because they actually gave us the evidence right in here. Now, I can see with imagination, put some skin and nose and hair and everything, we might get this individual from the evidence right here. But, again, what's the secret? Always, always, always look for the two different colors. You see the part that's dark in color, and you see a part that's light in color. All they found was the part that is dark in color. All they found was a skull cap. By the way, it wasn't the skull cap of you and me. It was a skull cap of a gibbon. So what's all this down here for? That's for your viewing enjoyment only. That's all it is for, okay? Has nothing to do with what they actually found. Well, he went back about a year later after he had established Java Man as the missing link. And about 50 feet away where he found that skull cap of the Java Man, that skull cap of a gibbon, he found a leg bone, the upper leg bone of man. So there you go. There's your evidence, half man, half ape, right? For 25 years, that was the evidence to prove that that's where we'd actually came from. But before Dr. Johansen died, he actually admitted to the world that he hadn't quite shared all of the evidence, because he said where he actually found that leg bone of man, he had found other bones of man, including two complete human skulls. So then why did he do that? Why did he put man bone together with ape bones? Did he believe so much in evolution that's all he could see? Did he want to become famous? He did become famous. We don't know why he did it, but today we know he did it. Even the evolutionary scientists know that he did it. But here's what really bothers me. They're still using this one right in here, Java Man, as one of the better evidence to prove human evolution, where we came from. Marilyn and I were out in Chicago a few years ago doing a vacation Bible school. And in the Museum of Natural History there, they actually had a statue of a Java Man, very much like this one. It wasn't this actual one, right? But they had him sitting out in the middle of the floor with a glass case all the way around it with some light shining just right on it. And they had a chair right in front. They had a little sign that said, sit down in the chair, move back and forth looking through the glass at Java Man until your reflection replaces that of Java Man. And so you do that, move back and forth. It was like looking in the mirror. All of a sudden you saw yourself. Another sign was right there. See, this proves that he was your great, 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 actually he said your ancestor, but it was the same, great, 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 great granddaddy. What amazed Marilyn and I, after I had sat back there and looked at my uncle, yeah, okay, I got back and we sat back and just watched for quite a while. We were probably there 45 minutes just watching the people come and sit down in there. Not only children, but adults. And you could tell by their demeanor when they got up, they'd bought into that silly little trick. They had another one right behind there. You go behind and there was two silhouettes. You stick your head through and there was a mirror back there. And you were in the body of a chimpanzee with your head. So you're looking back at, and again, the big sister, this is where you come from. Chimpanzee. Nothing but silly little tricks. What really disturbs me, I mean, we have all these big cities with major museums and everything, and we'll go down there and we'll see busload after busload after busload of children that are being taken in these museums, and it's like when they walk through the door, they're asked to check out their brains, drop them at the door so they can be filled up with all this stuff. And even many well-meaning teachers don't know anything about it, so all they're doing is just reading the things back to their children, and it's filling up these kids' minds. We need to start teaching our children, don't check out your brains when you go to these museums, all right? You need to go in there asking questions, all right, so you don't get fooled and everything. These bones were actually found in a cave in a valley. Many of the scientists that found at the time thought, wow, we have found proof that Mr. Darwin was right. And one of his contentions was that we did come from a monkey or ape-type creature, so someday we would find that evidence. They said, well, we've already found that. We have found the evidence that Mr. Darwin was right. Now, by the way, some of the scientists that were in on this expedition did not believe that, but some of them really promoted it. They say they came up with what they called Neanderthal because they found it in the Neanderthal Valley. They said Neanderthal was very dumb and ugly. How do you know that? Just go in the museums, and that's how they portray them. They show they're not very good looking, don't know how to dress, and mercy me. Check out this one right in the middle. Do you see what this one in the middle is doing? It's chewing on a rock hammer. Now, how intelligent is that? Look at me, I'm just going to wear my teeth out a little bit by chewing on this hammer. What happens is we go in here, and by their artwork, they sway us to make us believe what they want to believe about what their idea is out there. You go to another museum, they'll have a different idea, a little bit, when what Neanderthal looks like, but they'll still have him, not very good looking, still didn't know how to dress, and in every museum I've ever been in that had a Neanderthal, he's always having a bad hair day. I don't know what that's all about, all right? But today, they actually, through DNA and all that, they know that if you give this guy a little shave and a haircut, by the way, they realize where some of those that have in the museum were all hunched over like that, it's because they were actually diseased. They had two diseases they recognize today. One of those was rickets. Rickets is when we don't get enough vitamin D or enough sunshine to make that vitamin D work. So it makes us unhealthy. It tends to make your bones soft. On top of that, had arthritis. You put arthritis and rickets together, it stoops you right over. They found a lot more Neanderthal since that time. Found out they were as upright like we were, right? Very much upright. They believe give a little shave and haircut, give them some vitamin D, they look very much like we do today. Now, there were some differences. They actually had a little bit sloping forehead. Their head was a little larger than ours today. In fact, on the average, their brain capacity was larger than ours is today, which is a real problem for what evolution teaches, because evolution teaches the higher up the evolutionary scale, we're at the top, the larger their brain. But yet this guy had a larger brain than us. They said, this, well, it works with all critters and everything, except you get close to man, and then it doesn't really work anymore because it doesn't fit their idea out there. Actually, Neanderthal could have been smarter than we are today. No, not have the same technology, but I believe they're closer to Adam and Eve, and I do believe Adam and Eve were perfect, very, very intelligent. By the way, these guys still live. I met this guy right, well, not this one here. This is in a museum in Germany, but I had met his spitting image of his cousin down in Texas one day. We were in a Walmart getting supplies and everything, and I met this gentleman right here. The guy was bald, and he's big, so I didn't go out and take a picture of him, but, I mean, he still has those characteristics. Dave Nutting, our director, many times in the college level when he's on campuses and going through a lot of debates and everything, he's been called a Neanderthal many times. He does have a sloping forehead and eyes are kind of set back a little bit in it, all right? But when they call him a Neanderthal, it's a very derogatory term. They're not very happy with him at the time. But what they actually have found out today through DNA that they were actually 100% human. And if they are still around today, or if they were, they could actually have children with us. They're that closely related. So they really don't have anything to do with us. We actually believe they came off the Tower of Babel. They were one of those tribes or nations that came off the Tower of Babel. And you all know the story of Tower, or not the story, I'm sorry, the account. I don't like to use that word story when we're talking about historical things, right? But the account, and so many scientists believe that they were one of the tribes or nations. They believe like 70 different tribes and nations came off the Tower of Babel, or different languages. The ones that understood the same language traveled together. And Neanderthals were some of those that they have traced out of the Tower of Babel area, got up and cleared up in the Scandinavian area. They probably ran smack dab into the ice age that we believe happened after the flood. And they needed shelter of some kind. A temporary shelter. Where would be a good place for shelter until you could establish a settlement in a cave? They noticed they were living in caves, and very quickly began making their cave more comfortable with tent-type structures, and then took those tent-type structures and began actually migrating back down through Europe and cleared down back into northern Africa. But what we do know today is they actually have human DNA, so they're 100% human. Here's another one here. These are kind of the last few here, kind of the embarrassments. These were kind of embarrassments for what evolution was teaching. This is called Piltdown Man. This was actually found in England, half man, half ape. You look at a very ape-type creature here, but he's working with tools like they say man does. That separates us. According to evolution, that's what separates us from the animals, because of our ability to work with tools. But we have all kinds of animals that work with tools, so I don't think that's a very good argument. I believe what separates us from the animals is what the Bible says, that God gave us a spirit that he did not give to the animals, and he gave us dominion over those animals. But we're taught that it's because they work with tools and everything. So he's lost, working with tools, lost a little hair on his face. First of all, is this what they found? So what do we call this? And what's that next question? What's the evidence? Well, here was the evidence. What they found was a skull of man, but attached to it was the jawbone of an ape. But the teeth looked very, very human. So this was the proof for over 35 years. For 35 years. But then some medical doctors went back and actually examined it very, very closely. And they said, wait a second, this is just a joke. This is just a trick. Yes, it was a skull of man, but somebody cleverly attached that jawbone and made, and they could actually see the scratch marks, the file marks. You can still see them. They take those ape teeth and filed them down to make them look human. It was nothing but a joke or nothing but a trick. But it was a trick that lasted not just for 35. It took 35 years to discover it, but it took another 35 years to get it out of the literature. So for 70 years, this was the evidence being used. By the way, who read the article here just in the last... within this last year, that they believe that the author of Sherlock Holmes is probably the one that actually ended up coming. There's a lot of evidence pointing to that right now. So it's kind of interesting, all right? Make Sherlock Holmes turn over in his grave, if he was real. Anyway, here's one I have to show, because this is still in the books today. This is recapitulation. Actually, biogenetic law, ontogeny, recapitulation, phylogeny. If you can say that fast three times, you're real, real smart. I can't, so I call it recapitulation. All right? And what it is the whole idea. Remember, evolution teaches all animals change from one kind of animal into another. So there was an idea out there. Well, there is an idea out there that as we're growing, or as we're forming in the womb of our mother, we will go through our stages of evolution of what we look like in the past. There are stages of evolution. And this guy right here, Haeckel, he actually drew 24 different animals in their embryonic stage. And these are some of the ones. Actually, 24, but I didn't have room for all of them, so I just did these six. But it doesn't matter, because if you look at all 24, they're all very, very similar to each other. So he drew this. He drew a fish, salamander, a turtle, a chicken, a rabbit, and a human. Now, you know, if you look at that picture, you just look at that picture, don't know anything about him, it's kind of convincing, isn't it? Because you look at that picture of a fish in the embryonic state and us, and they're very, very close. Looks like the fish has a little bit bigger eye, things like that, but it's still all very close. In fact, all of these look very, very similar to each other. Well, these actually came out in 1868, and they got established in the books. Now, later it was actually shown that they were a fraud, but it was too late. It got established in the books out there, right? And what is so sad to me is this is still in the books today. I was actually up in Alaska, and this is about 10 years ago. I was doing in Sitka, Alaska, doing a citywide talk on the origin of man. And I had a man jump up when I showed this picture and said they're still in the books today. And he got mad. He shouted me down. He called me a liar, just right out flat a liar. And he said, these are not in our books today. It turned out he was one of the professors of the college teaching evolution. I sat in there real quick, said, Lord, I need some help here right now. I need an answer. I didn't have to. There was a bunch of college students jumped up and shouted him down. Said, Professor, you're wrong. You know, you're teaching this stuff. We can show this man in our books that it's still in there, and you're teaching it. So God did the work. I didn't have to do anything, right? So it is still in the book. Why is that? Why this is important, though, is this just shows that we came from an animal type thing. We talked about abortion a little bit yesterday, and many of the women's clinics around the world and the United States, ladies are going in there, and they are showing a picture like this, or very much like this, and saying, see, this thing inside of you is nothing but an animal, so it's all right to abort it, to kill it, based on that. But here's what's so sad. It's nothing but a lie. These were actually a fraud. This is what these individuals actually look like in the embryonic stage. Nothing like what he actually drew. But yet they are still in our books today, or a variation of them in our books today. Still trying to teach that we're nothing but an animal. This is my favorite one right in here. Back in 1922 in the Illustrated London News, they showed this picture of this individual, lost most of his body hair, walking upright, working with tools like we do. I used to have longer hair than that, so I never judge anybody by their hair length, all right? He could probably use a trim, in my estimation today. You need to make up your own mind. We've never had a consensus. Is this his wife or just his neighbor? Nobody seems to know right in here. But if you look at some of the other evidence up here, what do you see up here? You see horses, and what are this? These camels, all right? This came out in 1922. So, is this what they found? So, what do we ask? What is it, first of all? And the reason I'm practicing is I want you to pass this on to your children. If you see a stranger kid on the street, set them down a while and just teach them they need to recognize artwork. So then what's the evidence? Well, here was the evidence. What they found was a tooth. One tooth, a whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth. But all they found was one single tooth. They found it out in western Nebraska. You got a question? Yes, it was. You're getting ahead of me, young lady, but that's great. Good. I'm glad she knows, okay? That's why it's so hard to teach people that know so much about creation, all right? But anyway, it was a tooth. Uh-huh. And from that tooth, they got all this. They got this individual, long hair, club, whoever this is here, but horses and camels from one tooth. Now, is that enough? You cannot take that much information and stretch it out. But then, like the young lady said back there, they actually, 5 years later, they went back up into western Nebraska where they found that one too, and they found another tooth identical, it's sticking out, but it was still attached to the jaw. They dug a little deeper, it's still attached to the skull. And yes, it was a pig's tooth. Turned out it was a pig's tooth, after all right? Now, at the time, they claimed that that pig was extinct. Well, it turns out that pig is still alive and well down in South America, that species of pig. Now, wasn't this one right in here? I found this on the internet. I could not help myself. I actually have a cousin that looks like this. One of my favorite cousins, too, all right? Okay. That was over 90 years ago. We don't do that anymore, do we? No. We have to be careful. This is kind of dated, but not that long ago. In 2001, Time magazine came up with this. They said, we have proof this creature walked on two legs. So they show a picture, and they said down here, an adult chimpanzee, and then they have a human right in here. Well, if you read the article, what you find out real quick is they didn't find all of this individual right in here. They only found a portion of it right in here. But yet, you look at there, and they've got the whole thing. So first of all, when we see any picture, what should we be asking? what's the evidence? We realize that's the artwork. Well, you read the article, you find they didn't find all of it. But then you read a little farther. What was the evidence that this creature walked on two legs? You read a little farther and found out. Actually, they showed a picture of it, but it was a bone. They found one single toe bone. And because of that toe bone, that was the proof that this creature could walk upright. But read the whole article. Where did they find the toe bone? 10 miles away from the rest of the fossils of this critter right in here. 10 miles away. So it is still happening today. We need to be careful, don't you know? I tend to do this too. I like to look at pretty pictures, right? But it's not the artwork. You have to read the article. You really have to dig into it. Now, if you go to these museums, by the way, and you go up and ask them what's the evidence, the evidence you're going to get is what you're looking at to start with. So sometimes you have to do your homework. Sometimes you have to dig in to what you're looking at out there. But when you start digging into it, you're going to find out they really don't have anything out there. Another individual, he said, maybe these guys are right. Maybe we didn't come from a monkey or a chimpanzee, anything like that. But he believed in evolution so strongly, he actually took the evolutionary chart and flopped it around so that we were here first and the monkeys and the apes came from us. Now, we laugh, but this is being taught in some of the major universities today, and these guys coming out with PhDs behind their name, and they're going to other universities and teaching students this stuff today. So maybe that's where we get the Blues Brothers dressed as chimps. I don't know. Well, I went down to the zoo, and I asked my little buddy downstairs. He said, I'm a little confused right now. Did I come from you? Did you come from me? He just laughed. Ask the animals, and they shall teach you the hand of the Lord hath done this. Job 12:7-9b. Even the animals seem to know where they came from. We're the ones that seem to have the problem. Where did we actually come from? I really have to challenge kids. This girl, she's already been trained up, all right? She knew the answer already, you know? But we really need to start raising up our children so they're asking these questions, because there's lots of questions out there. They need to start asking questions. Don't be afraid to look into what is the actual evidence. Now, like I shared, they're not always going to get the right ones, so sometimes they have to do their homework, and hopefully the parents, you, grandparents, aunts and uncles, are helping them along in their thing, because our children are being just pounded today with evidence like this that is still in the books. I would love to one of these days quit teaching this lecture right in here. But now they get all that stuff out of the museums, all that stuff out of the books, I have to continue. I have to keep warning these children that it's out there. So don't be fooled by the artwork.